is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. And that old wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning. Time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And it is, is it the 16th today, John?
Yep, 16th.
Hallelujah. March 16th. We got past the Ides of March. How about that? So we welcome you this Saturday morning, again, to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we say good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And Jason had a couple other ministry things he had to take care of this morning early. But we know he's here with us in spirit. And we say good morning to you, the remnant. And we thank you for joining us out there as well. And we'll open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll open up the phone lines and do what we do here at coffee time. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone to share your words and the thoughts that you give us, Lord. Thank you for letting us share them with the remnant. Thank you for this time and this foundation that's been built, Lord, that we continue to build upon. We ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts and our words. Let them be a blessing to you and a blessing to the remnant. Lord, protect us in these days that we're in. Let us not fear, Lord, and as we see the world just collapsing around us and the people of the world doing all they can and being in fear, Lord, let your remnant, your people, fear not. And we know, Lord, that is a sign of destruction for them and a sign of deliverance for us. We know greater are you that are for us than anything that can come against us. We give you all the praise and glory. We ask you to join us, Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Join us for coffee this morning. And let this broadcast go out strong and bold across this land, proclaiming your true gospel story. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
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 Well, Mr. Kyle, we're going to go to you this morning and say good morning and what kind of thoughts do you have to bring to the remnant this morning, first thing?
Well, I wish I wish I would watch the news more, but I don't. But
be thankful you don't.
But I was looking at scriptures this morning, which I think is a pretty good thing to do. Don't you?
That's the good news.
It's better than looking at the news on the TV. That's for sure.
Yeah, and the first spot I opened up to was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'll just read verse 10, 11, and 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And, I know you, Richard, just ended up doing shows on sin, unrighteousness, and it is so overwhelming in the land. I took my wife out for a dinner last night, and the people are clueless. And I'm talking about, probably most of them are our people. The restaurant we went to was full of white people. Now, some of them might be Canaanites and Edomites and Amalekites and who knows what else. But I think a lot of them were our people, and they are in a delusion. You know, they don't even know what truth is. You can just see it on their face. You can see the unrighteousness in their actions, and it's sad, you know.
There's no fear of God.
No fear of God. It's all me. You know, I mean, and you know, there's a bar section to the restaurant. You know, of course, we weren't sitting in it, but we could see it. You know, at least when we walked by, and you know, you got the same old thing going. You got people trying to convince other people that they're great, you know, and they even do that more, I think, when they've had a few than before. But this chapter 2, starts out with saying, of course, it's Paul talking to the Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And that's where we need to be, and that's where a lot of the Thessalonians were. You know, I mean, and Paul was just saying, you know, as we gather together here, you know, and he was calling it the day of Christ at hand 2,000 years ago, or however long this was ago, 1,900 and some years ago. And that's, you're right, it's good news. It's just, it also lets you know that there's bad things going on around us, you know, to our people.
Yeah, we're on the same page, talking to a few friends here lately. It's kind of comical that they say, oh, well, we got to hurry up and get all this legislation through to the Supreme Court, you know, before the great mongrel elects another one to or appoints another one on their side. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I go, it's not. There's only one way out of this thing, and that's repentance. You know, when you humble yourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. There ain't no other way out of this thing. But it's interesting we're on the same page, because that's the scriptures that I was sending them to were right there in 2 Thessalonians.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's how he works.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. I would bet you that when Moses was backed up against the Red Sea and they turned around and they saw Pharaoh's army coming. Now, they'd been led by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. But you can bet, John, that there were probably some people that said, well, Pharaoh's coming. There's nothing we can do. We just have to go bow down to Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And let us go back to him.
Especially in the movie on TV.
The hand that struck us. And let's return to him. And maybe he'll have mercy on us. You know, maybe he'll appoint a slave commission and help us out a little bit.
Cursing Moses, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know they
How
were.
How dare you take us out of Egypt?
They were. And, you know, but God had other plans. God had other plans. He had told Moses, and, you know, we have to be ready to do that. You know, we have to be ready. We talk about Red Sea deliverances and being delivered from the fiery furnace. Well, you know, to have that Red Sea deliverance, you have to be against the Red Sea. You have to be in a Red Sea predicament, you know.
To be an overcomer, you have to have something to overcome.
Absolutely. And you have to be ready, Remnant. You have to be ready to stand there, you know, and if you have to strike that staff on the ground and part the Red Sea. Of course, we know that that's not of our power, but it's of God. He did then, and he sure can again.
Amen.
Got an email in, kind of some current events. It's from Matthew, and I recognize Matthew. And it says about the White House stopping the tours, and I think they just started them back up a little bit. But he says, "Hello, all. I was listening to your show when one of your callers, and I think this was to Jason, because it was yesterday, and Jason talked about this a little last night. He said, I was listening to your live show tonight when one of your callers made a comment about the White House stopping the tours due to budget cuts. In my opinion, I think they stopped the tours due to our Lord's warriors anointing the inside of the White House during the tours. It's probably affecting the well-being of the main resident and breaking down the stronghold."
Amen. You guys see that there's a preview out, you know, anymore. I don't think it's even worth going to the movies, but there's a preview out, and you know how the enemy always has to tell you what their plans are. It's called the Olympus Down or Olympia or something. I don't know. But it's basically looks like it's terrorists taking over the White House, and the White House gets destroyed. And so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, they'd probably be telling us what's already happened.
Yeah. Well, driving up here this morning, about 5:30, it was a little different than last week. I'm not sure, though. I thought that, didn't that daylight savings, that was a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
I think it was last week, last Saturday night.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah. Well, anyways, it was light last Saturday morning, and it was dark this morning, and I did see at least a dozen tandem semis hauling what looks like military equipment that was tarped, which typically it's not tarped, so I'm not sure what the deal was there. But, I mean, you could tell, you know, when you see the wheels and you see a little bit of tan, and not sure if it was those some of those 2,700 armored vehicles, but there's definitely something going on. And, I mean, you can feel it in your spirit talking to those that have been baptized, that do have that Holy Spirit. They seem to understand that there is something going on.
Yeah, our enemy has ramped it up. They've you know, got their first team starters in. I think, you know, they're really ramping it up and trying. And but you know, I'm reminded of the scripture that says God sits in the heavens and laughs
and scoffs at him. Yeah,
and scoffs at him. And I think we're to do the same thing. You know, let them. You know, again in Moses' day. He had the greatest army ever bearing down on him. The chariots, the horsemen, the swordsmen, the archers, all of it. And had nowhere to go. And God delivered him out. Kyle, you had something there. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, that's all right. But, you know, you mentioned Moses a couple times. And you know, the last days are referred to the days of Egypt and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's big destruction coming, you know, and God will. I really took thought of Jason's prayer the other night before the prayer meeting, how he said in his prayer, you know, about the saints crushing Satan under their feet, you know. Well, before that can happen, you have to have saints, you know, and to be a saint, I mean, you can read in the Bible and you can figure out what it takes to be a saint. You know, you can take you can take the Bible and figure out what it takes to not be a saint. Let's put it this way. You can find out how to get in the kingdom and how to behave in the kingdom and what goes on in the kingdom of God, and you can find out in the Bible what it takes to not make it to the kingdom and keep out of the kingdom. You know, and that defines a saint to me, is one that's in the kingdom of God doing not living a perfect life like we've always thought of the word saint. You know, he's a saint, you know, because he's perfect. No, it's somebody who lives for Christ, serves Christ, obeys God's laws to the best of his ability, and lives in the kingdom of God. You know, and it just really hit me the other night while he's praying that, well, we got to have saints first. You know what I mean? And you think as they came out of Egypt, you know, it happened to them after they crossed the Red Sea too. They would come into hard times, and what would they want to do? They'd want to turn around and go back to their captors. Mm-hmm. They wanted to flee. Because they had no substance. They had no faith. You know, obviously Moses and Joshua and Caleb and a few, you know, some of them, they had that. They had what it takes. They had belief in God and with actions, which means they had faith. And that's the days. I mean, I know it's been driven into people's hands ever since Paul wrote these writings in the early Christian days. And if you want to crush Satan under your feet, you have got to be a saint, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better be praying that full armor of God on, too, before you go to battle.
Yeah, daily.
Absolutely.
Daily.
You know, and even though it's a spiritual battle, which, John, you basically brought up this morning, we're living in the flesh. So there's things that's going to come upon us that we have to react in the flesh, you know, and that will show our faith. You know what I mean? So it's basically, even though it's a spiritual battle and you're not going to get out of it without God, we're going to, you know, when you read the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, you find out what they did, you know, by their faith.
Right.
You know, and that's where the rubber hits the road here. It's going to be, what did you do, Kyle, you know, by
right.
your faith? Not, hey, I believe in God, God's going to save me, you know, because that's not what it says they did.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, we've spoken of that in our local Sunday school and I think at the church Sunday school as well, that, you know, it's more than belief. And our enemy has done such a good job of putting that, you just believe, brother, Jesus did it all, and you can do nothing more because he did it all. What more can you do when Christ has gone to the cross for you? You just have to believe and accept him in your heart. And those smooth-tongued devils is what they are. They rewrite the gospel story. They distort the gospel story. I'm glad you brought that up, Kyle, about that Faith Hall of Fame. It's what they did with their faith. They didn't just believe and then just sit down like the yoga guy, and wait. You know, that's that Eastern religion, is just to believe, just to meditate, just to become one with yourself, find the God within, and all that BS.
Yeah, it's our job as the remnant, though, to strive to be those saints so that we can
yes.
trample Satan under our feet.
Just
like you said, Kyle, and I actually wrote a small article on that in this month's newsletter, but that remnant is smaller than we'd like to believe. And, you know, I believe in Ezekiel there's a good example of just how small that remnant will be.
Gideon only needed 300.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize. I was reading, we're just about to start printing the Serpent Sons of Hell and the Simple Shibboleth, and I read that last night before I went to bed, and a lot of people don't realize the price that was paid by our pastor all these years. You know, he had a cush job and a retirement and, you know, for the Department of Agriculture, and God just said, no, that's not what you're going to do. You're going to be a preacher, and your job is to preach the truth in season and out of season, no matter what the cost, no matter what the consequences. Your job is to gather my remnant from all around the world and teach them the truth. Teach them that they have to be baptized. They need to be purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, as you see all this stuff happening around you, praise God, because those terrors are becoming more bold and brazen each and every day. They stick their heads up higher and higher, and they're going to be easy to spot, gather, bind, bundle, and burn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I take my solace and my faith is in the fact that I know that I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, because I have been properly baptized. I know that my wife has been properly baptized. She's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the children that God blessed me with are under our protection until the age 20. It's our job to do the best that we can to keep them on that path. And at, you know, when they get to that age, it's up to them whether they go the way of the world or they follow Jesus Christ. And I mean, that's the things we got to worry about. That's the most important thing.
Amen. And well, that's, you know, you were talking about Peter basically lost his government job when he, you know, because he started speaking the truth. You know, I mean, I don't know so much that he concluded he was a preacher, but it was, he started saying things. And so remember he started getting audited all the time by the IRS and things like that, you know, so they made him, you know, they put him to where he was going to have to make a choice, you know, so he made a choice. And then later, you know, after he had Colonel Moore come speak at his church, you
yep.
know, and he took all that, you know, and I think even before that, when he got down to 8 people in his church, you know, he was always having to make decisions that was going to cost him in the flesh, you know, because, you know, before his church got down to 8 people, I'm sure there was people going to the church that he really was fond of, you know, because he had such a big heart, you know, that I'm sure there was people there that came to him and said, hey, we believe it, but we don't want you to teach it, you know, that type of thing that he really cared about.
Yeah.
But what did he do? He made the choice. The choice that should come to every one of us off, on and off, you know, and that is, am I going to speak the truth or am I going to bow back down and, you know, go with what the people want me to do, you know, and, you know, that's why you have the churches you got throughout the land is the ministers started preaching what the people wanted to hear.
Yep.
A person asked me the other day, how come so many churches out there teach that the law has been done away with, you know? And I'm like, well, we don't have time for me to go into it, but I just sum it up, and that is, well, they want church members, and so they can't teach against sin, and so if they can't teach against sin to have church members, then they can't teach the law, so they have to teach that the law has been done away with. I mean, so basically they cower down.
Yeah,
whores galore in America.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Well, guys, we might as well open up the phone lines this morning. 307-745-5913. If you have a comment or want to call in and say good morning, there's plenty going on out there in the world. And you hear the comments here.
Still there, Kyle?
We have to turn.
Yeah.
We have to be, as Kyle said, saints. Not Catholic saints, not St. Peter, not St. Paul, not that type. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that gives recognition to men. But, you know, we have to be as those that were included in that Faith Hall of Fame, that they had faith, though they believed, and they put that belief into action. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the good works we are to have. That is the faith in action, the belief in action that we're to have, that you are to have, remnant, that we do our best to have here. But, you know, in our daily lives, we are to be overcomers. And, you know, God has seen to it that he gives us things to overcome. You know, we talk about each of us having our cross to bear, and we do that. We all have different crosses to bear. We have different things to overcome. But with Christ as our example, we can do just that. And John, you mentioned with the pastor, he was a great example as well. You talk about a man dedicated to the Word and dedicated to Jesus Christ. He did. He gave up his job. He gave up the world for something much better.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, as you go on in life and you get a little older, you get a little smarter, Lord willing, and when you lose loved ones and you start to realize what's important and what isn't. And Dad knew that. He figured that out a long time ago, and he knew that all this was just stuff. And, you know, no matter what right. you could accumulate here in this world, it pales in comparison to what God's plans are for you if you, stay the course.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Which doesn't take away the pain and doesn't take away the hurt and the tears and everything that goes with it, but through suffering, we get obedience. That's how we are refined, so to speak.
The Word says that's how Jesus Christ learned obedience, was through suffering. If we were still a Bible-reading society like we once were, Kyle, and Remnant, I'm sitting here in the broadcast booth, and there's a shelf full of books over here, and I see the Amplified Bible, and I see here's a topical Bible, and there's just two whole shelves, the Geneva Bible, the Companion Bible. There's two whole shelves of Bibles. Looks like three, maybe. And we used to be a Bible-reading people. When this land was formed, when it was settled, when the Appalachians were the Wild West, and the settlers moved into it, they might only have one book, but they had it, and it was the Bible. And when the West was settled, your families had the Bible. They were a Bible-reading people, and they understood that we overcome through suffering, that if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect Son of God, if he had to learn obedience through suffering, and you think that it might apply to us as well? And so it wasn't, that you started out with, Kyle, that me, it's all for me. I'm great. Look at me. Let me share my flowing and great words with you. Look upon my good looks and see how great I am. It wasn't anything like that. It was, we understood that we were nothing without him.
Well, the Catholic Church understood, too, that if the people read the Bible, then they would understand the truth, and that's why they were so adamant about keeping it from the people. And don't worry about it. We'll interpret it for you. We'll tell you what it means. And it still goes on today. And, probably 80% of the churches in this country don't even crack open a Bible.
Yeah. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing. Let's see what we got this morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, it's Terry from Toronto.
Well, good morning, Terry.
Just asking for prayer. The medical problems that I've had sort of spread up. They drained 2 liters of fluid off my right lung couple of days back. Apparently my liver has been sufficiently damaged and the fluid is finding new places to go.
Well, we could sure do that.
We'll sure do that, Terry.
Let's pray.
And what it is that I need to find a doctor who's actually going to be looking to heal as opposed to just playing head games, because we're getting completely stonewalled for getting any tangible assistance.
Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we lift up our brother Terry, but we go to the head physician, the chief physician, Lord, and we claim that healing power of Jesus Christ to flow into Terry even now as we speak, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Lord, doctors can tell him anything they want. They can tell him he has liver damage. They can tell him this, tell him that. But we know that you can heal him, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we're coming together in agreement, claiming that healing power,
Lord,
right now. We know this isn't Wednesday night prayer meeting, Lord, but this is for your people. this morning we gather and we just come together and we claim this healing for our brother Terry.
Yes.
Lord, we want your will to be done. If your will is to lead him to someone, then so be it, Lord. But we just pray that your will would be done on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Touch base with you in a few days.
All right, Terry. Thank you.
That's one thing I've found out the last 3 or 4 years since I've been out here is prayer is not designated to a certain day or time. It's at all times, and you never know when.
That's right.
You know, you're going to be from 1 second to another when you're going to be praying, you know.
Amen. Dad would always say, too, if you feel the urge to pray for somebody, stop what you're doing and do it, because that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Right. And that's the scripture being fulfilled. That we're told to pray without ceasing, to pray at all times. And it doesn't mean that we're to be on our knees all the time, or that we're to, you know, ignore everything in this world and just be in prayer. But it's the concept. It's that principle to be ready to pray at the drop of a hat, you know?
I heard the other day, one of the Christian radio stations, usually about worthless, but they said something that was interesting and it made sense. They said, what would you do if you woke up tomorrow and you could only keep what you thanked God for the day before? That's pretty profound.
Be a lean life.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, we, you know, our society was once a godly society. It was. You know, our people understood it. Our people read the Bible. You can bet that, you know, when they went to bed at night, they did pray over their children and their spouse and their job and maybe their crop in the field or their animals in the barn or whatever it was, because we were tied to the land greater. We were more dependent on our God. And that's a good point.
Technology's double-edged sword. All this, I mean, we're just thinking TV, but you look at what's out there today, what these kids have to battle and what we have to battle on a daily basis. It's amazing, and our enemy knows that too. You know, back in the day, I was fortunate and got an 1828 Bible, and this thing's, you know, 6 inches tall, leather bound, has a clasp on it. I mean, it's an heirloom, and I just barely got into it. But you can just imagine back in the day when Dad would come in from working in the fields or whatever, and the fire would be going, and he'd call Mom around and the children, and there was no TV, there was no radio, there was hardly any books, and they probably saved for months to buy this Bible, and it was probably one of the most valuable possessions that they had. But they'd open that up, and the pictures that are in there, and I mean, it's just, you can tell. You got to remember back in the day that this was hand typeset. I can't even imagine how much time and effort went into printing something like this. But then they would sit there and listen to the patriarch of the family, you know, reading from the Bible, the stories, and that you could just see the children in awe, you know, and right around Mom and Dad and the fire, and how far we've come from that, you know, from the just to the world. It's sad.
Yeah, and then you can extend that out to where, okay, they close the book and then they pray for their crops to come in.
Yeah, amen. Exactly.
Or the rain to come, or there was no quick fix. You know, they couldn't call whoever, you know, for whatever reason, for a medical reason, for, you know, for help in the field, for, you know, I mean, they were, you know, there wasn't cars to travel, there wasn't planes, there was. Everything, they relied on God, or they had to.
There was no government God either. That's the thing.
Right.
Right. Yep. They learned perseverance and patience. And you know, you read of those things in the Bible, that, you know, what brings health, what brings prosperity, those things.
They trusted God.
Amen. Amen. But, well, I got a song for you. And, again, the phone lines are open this live 16th of March. It's Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're broadcasting to you live just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And Got a quick song, and we'll be back right after this.
Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you're my friend. Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you are my friend. Lord, you're the one that I confide in as these days come to an end. Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend. Oh, there's times I get discouraged, feel a little depressed, but Jesus comes. He'll say to me, son, let me take away all your stress. Well, there's things that my people don't realize. There's news that I want them to know, that the price I paid so they all could be saved, and my name Satan's got to let them go. Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you're my friend. Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you are my friend. Lord, you're the one that I confide in as these days come to an end. Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend.
Jesus is your very best friend. The Bible says he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I hope you have that relationship with him. I hope you've read about him, trusted and obeyed, believed and done what it says you're supposed to do in the Word. He is a great friend to have.
Sure is good to hear old brother Mike. Miss him.
Yeah.
Tell you what, that God brought him to this church, didn't give him a whole lot of time here, but he left a lasting mark with his music, and I was fortunate enough to travel with him. I actually invited him to come to Branson, and he said, well, I can't go, you know, I can't get off work, I can't do this. And I said, well, you know what, there's all kinds of excuses, but I'm telling you, you're going. And he did. And it was probably one of the most special times in his life. And, you know, I have some things that Mike signed, and I hold them dear to me. And I hope you out there, if you're listening, if you don't have those CDs, you get them. Because just that one song, think of what it would do to the youth if they could actually listen to the words and hear the truth, and then seek, well, who is this Jesus, you know, and try to find him. It's so sad. My daughter did something for school where they went to Old Town there in Fort Collins, and they interviewed some people, and these were youth, you know, around her age, and these people they're lost. They don't even know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know that there's a God, that, you know, they believe this crap that they're taught in school, that, you know, this was man evolved from ape and evolution, and it's pathetic, and it makes you tear up, really, to think of what the enemy's done to our people.
Yeah. You know, their big thing was, oh, well, you can't legislate morality, but you can legislate it out.
Yeah.
You can. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. This is Kevin over in Ohio.
Good morning, Kevin.
I have a few things I'd like to talk with you this morning. Thank you for your prayers Wednesday night. And I've had a lot of time this winter do reflecting and seeing things that I kind of passed over, well, just thinking they're there. Stopped by a antique mall. We have, being back here, we have hundreds of years of memorabilia around these antique malls. And a couple things caught my eye. One is I saw a large graduation picture from the start of World War II of a graduating company of a military unit. And this picture had to be about 3 to 4 feet wide of a class of graduating men entering, you know, the active part of their duty. And that picture, as wide as it was, and as many people, men as were in it, they were all white, and they were all men.
Yeah.
And I reflect that people of this country today can say, well, we won World War II. But who is the we? And who did the fighting?
Right.
Who gets the credit?
Yeah.
And secondly, I'd like to bring up about what John's talking about, that Bible, that family, quote, family Bible. Those are so precious to families that everything was entered into they had front pages in them.
Mm-hmm.
Where you listed the births, the deaths, marriages, everything in your family tree. And you could take that Bible to any government source and show the records. They were the true records.
Right.
You know what's interesting, Kevin, is here a while back I had a battle to get Social Security numbers for a couple of my children that were born at home. And even though I had federal passports, I could not get Social Security numbers. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, you don't want them and this and that, but whatever. The interesting thing is they still accepted the family Bible as a valid form of identification when you're proven, you know, who you are. So I thought that was kind of interesting in this world of Babylon that we live in. God still preserved that fact that the family Bible is still an heirloom and still a genealogy record for a family.
Sure. It's an official document.
It is.
I love it. And then I like to. I had an idea, but I don't know if I should say this or not. That I had a thought to why they maybe shut down the tours at the White House. They might. They have a guest room where they serve snacks. And I was thinking maybe they just ran out of bananas and peanuts. I don't know. I'll let you gentlemen go. I want to say God bless you and thank you for all your work.
Thank
God bless you.
You.
Thanks.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913.
You know, the other thought that occurred to me was I had looked into those old Bibles on eBay, you know, years when Dad was still around, and I thought I wanted to get him one, you know, and I think as little as 5 years ago, you couldn't touch something like that for like $5,000, and this one that I got, I ended up getting for about $500, which is a lot of money, yeah, but it just shows what the world is, the value of things that are worth something, you know, scriptural truth has declined, but the value of things that are worth nothing has, accelerated. I think it's just interesting.
Oh, yeah, point. The value of that, I mean, you think about all the things that you may have in your home that cost $500. The value of that is so much greater than those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you take care of it, it'll last so much longer than those things. It's good money spent.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things, I think early on, Kyle, when you were out here in the church, we got to talking, and you told us about what the time your house was broken into, you know, and Tracy was right there as a witness, and the first thing you did was run and check to see that all of your Scriptures for America tape collection was intact. That was what was important to you, and that says a lot, you know.
Just to tell the people the story a little bit, you know, we're at a ball game, and we're coming home, and we get home, and, of course, the front door is open, and, you know, we go walking in there, and we could tell that things, that robbers had been there, you know. And so in our family room, I had a desk, and I had, I don't know, 100, maybe 250 tapes, you know, not CDs, tapes back then of Pastor Peter's. And that's just my instincts. My reaction was I just ran by our VCR that was gone and other things that were kind of knocked around and the back door was open. I ran by all that stuff and ran in there and opened up these drawers in my desk, you know, and they were gone. And I'm just like freaking out, you know, they stole my tapes, you know what I mean? And, unbeknownst to me, she had moved them the day before or something like that or something and was cleaning and something, you know. And so she just, you know, she starts laughing because there I am, you know, running and thinking somebody would come into our house and steal my tapes, you know what I mean? And, you know, so then we laughed with our friends for a while about it because that, you know, I could care less about the VCR that was gone. I mean, it wasn't even nothing to me.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah,
if those thieves only knew how they took the trash the valuable stuff, you know.
Well, it said a lot about your character. That's what I'm saying. And it still rings true that example is in my mind about your character. So,
well, let's go back to the phone lines.
Well, thanks.
Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, men. This is Jules in Montana, and I have my staff in hand. And I've been noticing, and as the pastor taught, Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And, you know, I kind of lost my train of thought here. Jesus, help me. As an example, the I Ams, we recite the I Ams so that we're reinforced. And as Jesus taught us to pray, say, our Father,
right,
which art in heaven, for example, so we can hear our prayers. And if you're following me.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, what I'm coming down to, I think a lot of the reason that our people are deceived is because of the words they say, and then they hear them, and it affects our subconscious, which, of course, it affects our conscious and then our physical and spiritual. And, for instance, Pastor taught us, watch out for saying, oh, that's a pain in the butt, or that pees me off.
Right.
Lately, I've been hearing almost everybody saying, locally around me or whatever, there. I can't believe that this is going on, or I can't believe that's going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the reasons they can't, don't see what's going on is because they say, I can't believe. And I just thought I'd put that out there. It's on my heart to say it, and
we need to
watch our words. And,
amen.
I think you probably concur.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So if I could say a short prayer, and Lord Jesus, I pray that your people would wake up, and that you would wake them up, and let them watch their words and what they say and do, and that when they wake up, that they would cry out to you and turn from their wicked ways and cry out to you and say, Jesus, save us and forgive us, and that he would hear from heaven and heal our land and our people.
Amen.
For his glory. And that's all I had to say, amen, and thanks for being there. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jules. Have a good weekend.
Got to take our thoughts captive.
Absolutely. I had the privilege
of... good points. Yeah.
It is. I had the privilege of driving the pastor to Wisconsin in the fall of 2001. And it's a pretty long drive. And I wear contacts. And at times at night, it gets a little harder to see sometimes. And I remember making the comment, rubbing my eyes, and, you know, we're driving down the road. Been on the road. We left right after church. Been on the road for several hours. And I made the comment, I'm blind as a bat at night. And he said, what did you say? It's just the two of us in the truck. And so foolish me, I confess my sin to you, repeated it. I said, I wear contacts, and at night sometimes I just get blind as a bat. And he said, watch your words. And I got a 3-hour sermon.
Good.
It was a captive audience. And he told all about the words and their power. And I think we still have a series on that. I know Pastor did a series on it. And then... is it Howard Freeman that he talks about that gave the talk? I think it is,
yeah.
On words and power, yeah. And the yoga master and all this,
yeah.
Stuff and
red chair,
the red chair and all this. And you know, it's still something to overcome, but there is great, just like Jules said, there is great power in words. Think about what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word is God. You know, I love hearing Mr. Hoskins say that,
yeah.
when he says that.
Alpha and Omega.
It is, and that is the words. There are so many words. You know, if you want to have fools for children, just call them fools for years and years on time, on end, and your words will come true.
And there's power. You know, he mentioned
there is power.
I am confessionals. I mean, we haven't really promoted that for a while. At least I haven't heard us promote it for a while. But there's power in it. When you sit down at a just by yourself and mm-hmm. you read the I Am Confessionals, what you are in the Scripture, you know, it'll build you up. I mean, I don't know why it works that way, but it does. And as you're reading, you know, I am this, I am Christ, I am a redeemer, I am redeemed, I am all these things. I mean, you'll start, you know, you might be in a down mood when you start doing that. And by the time you're done with it, you'll be uplifted and you'll feel the power, you know, in it.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'm up here at the ranch this morning, and that's one of the things I looked at on the shelves this morning was that I Am Confessional.
Yeah.
And well, I haven't looked at it in a long time either, so. Huh.
Well, guys, we have time for one more caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee.
Good morning, Richard and Kyle and John. This is Tim from Nebraska. And
morning, Tim.
Good morning. I had a thought about something kind of fits right in, dovetails nice with what you were saying there about confessing and speaking. And one of those things was a memory I had of Monty, dear son. But you remember how he used to always say, I'm not afraid of anything. You know,
yep.
I can remember he'd say, I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of anything. And it was a way of professing, you know, a lack of fear. And it always reminded me of Philippians 1:27-28, where it says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God.
Amen.
And, you know, that word alarmed is fear, terror, whatever, and not being afraid of them. And you know, it always takes me back to one of my favorite I'm not afraid of you verses is Daniel 3:17, and John and I have talked about that a few times, but it's that one where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh, we're not careful how we answer you, O king. We don't even have to answer you in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of fire. But even if he does not, let it be known to you that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the image that you've set up.
Amen.
No king but King Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, but anyways, I just wanted to kind of put that in there. I thought it fit in nice. Really enjoyed listening to you this morning, and Lord bless.
Thanks, brother.
Guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks. Well, what was that scripture? Did you guys write it down? Philippians.
Philippians 1. I think it's Philippians 1. I don't have my Bible open here, so... Well, guys, we're almost out of time. Sure appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you joining us, Remnant. You know, lots going on in the world. They did elect a new pope this last week. We're going to talk about that tomorrow morning a little bit on the scriptural review of the news. We invite you to church. If you come at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Mountain Time to scripturesforamerica.org, you can also tune in to this shortwave station and listen, if you want to our church service. But we invite you to come there. We do have a Truths About Catholicism packet available. It's four books that deal with the lies that are there in the Catholic cult. And you can see this on our website, but it's four books. If you're interested in that, the Truths About Catholicism packet, contact us and we'll be glad to give you some information on it. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And if you listened to Jason last night, you heard there is a fire. It's not threatening the church or anything, but it is down in that LaPorte, Fort Collins area. We do ask that you keep the people that live in the area that are his in your prayers, that once again God would deliver them from that.
There was two fires, actually. There was another fire that burnt within an acre of the back of the church, so... And yeah, this is not the time not to be lacking in prayer, that's for sure.
Right.
Don't forget the 91st days, too, Monday and Tuesday. If there's ever a time to be keeping those, it's now. Don't forget the Passover's coming up here on April 2nd, and we plan on having something live for that. So we pray that the Lord blesses you and look forward to you joining us.
Amen. Thanks again, men. We'll go out with this song. Pastor sure liked it.
Country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake.
take high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.